I'm not going to leave that up there for very long. There'll be a smaller one. I'm not up there to make you hungry. It's up there to make you think of Thanksgiving. It's coming up, right, on Thursday. And I don't always do this, and sometimes I don't even like to do it. And that's, you know, during certain holidays or special events that come up. I don't often talk about them. But this year, I'm going to make an exception, and I want to talk about how to be a Thanksgiver. First, if we look through a little bit of the history of Thanksgiving, it was first celebrated, and some of the teachers can say, well, wait a minute, where'd you get your information? That's not what I teach. Well, this is what I found on the internet in several different places, so please bear with me. The first was celebrated in 1621. And again, it was just meant as literally a thanksgiving to God, that they were able to have so much, and they really made it through their first year, there in this new place. And it lasted for about 3 days. We don't do that much anymore, do we? Almost nothing lasts that long. You think about a funeral that we typically will go through in a couple of days, you know, have people come and visit and go through a line and say their respects to the family. And then on the next day, you know, have the burial process go through, and then everything's done. And we see in the Old Testament and in a lot of history that some of those mourning processes lasted 30 days, and we've sped things up so much that this celebration lasted for 3 full days. George Washington issued a nationwide day of thanks on November 26th in 1789. And so on and off, it was, you know, would go, you know, have it and not have it, and on and off through 1789. And then President Lincoln set the last Thursday in November aside to have Thanksgiving in 1863. And then finally, FDR changed it to the fourth Thursday in 1941. But there's been some changes over the very recent past, because our Thanksgiving has become much less about God and much less about thankfulness, hasn't it? It's become more and more about turkey, football, and shopping. Now, I'm not saying that any of those things are bad, but sometimes these things replace our Thanksgiving. I realize that Thanksgiving is not a religious holiday. It is a good time for families to get together. But I also want to suggest that each and every day we should be thankful for God. But yet each and every day it becomes more about things like this, turkey and football and shopping, than it does about being thankful to God for what He has given us. And being able even to spend time with family. I want to talk today about how to be a Thanksgiver. And I'm not just talking about this coming Thursday. I'm talking about every day. How do we become a Thanksgiver, a giver of thanks in our own lives? And I want to look at this example that we have in Scripture of this one man who was a thanksgiver, and appreciate those verses being read in Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. Because as we follow that account, there were 10 lepers, and I am sure that they were all thankful to be healed from their leprosy. Don't you think that when they realized that they were healed from their leprosy, and they went and they showed themselves to the priest, and the priest went through the whole process and said, yeah, you're healed. Don't you think that they were thankful to be healed? Of course they were. Anytime that happens to any of us, we would absolutely be thankful. But here's the thing. Only one of them was a thanksgiver, wasn't he? All of them, I'm sure, and that takes a little bit of speculation on my part, but all of them, I'm sure, were thankful. But only one of them becomes a thanksgiver because of what had happened. And so I want to examine and look at some of the qualities that it takes to be a thanksgiver. And again, as we look at these three things, I want you to understand that they all go together and that we have to have all three of these things if we are going to be a true giver of thanks. The first thing that I want us to notice this morning, and if you have your Bibles marked in Luke 17, I encourage you to keep it there because we'll go back and forth several times throughout the morning. But in verses 11 and 12, I want you to notice that the first thing is we realize if we're going to be a true giver of thanks, a true thanksgiver, then we need to realize who we are. While he was on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance, there were 10 leprous men who stood at a distance to meet him. They raised their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So we find Jesus starting on his way to Jerusalem, really for the last time. You know, Jesus probably has other things to do and other things to think about when he's making his last trip to Jerusalem, doesn't he? You know, there's a lot of things on Jesus' mind. But he takes the time with these 10 lepers. We find that these 10 lepers included at least one Samaritan. And think about this. In John 4 and verse 9, this Samaritan woman that Jesus meets early on in his ministry, "Therefore the Samaritan woman said to him, 'How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink, since I am a Samaritan woman? For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans.'" Well, we understand that the Samaritans were a kind of a mixed breed of people in the northern captivity when they went into captivity, Syrian captivity, and people were eventually moved into this area of Samaria. They were moved in at a lot of different races and different nations moved in there. So they were this mixed group of people that remained in Palestine that whole time. And so the Jews would even go out of their way not to go through Samaria, which would have been the fastest way to get from the northern part of Palestine to the southern part of Palestine, especially if you were, headed from Galilee and trying to go to Jerusalem to worship. They would cross the Jordan on one side, go down, cross back over to get there, just to go out of their way not to be in this area. That's how little they thought of the Samaritans. And so it was even a surprise to this woman that Jesus was even going through Samaria, let alone sitting and talking with her. But yet, here one of these men, and the one who comes back, is actually a Samaritan. We don't know how many more may have been Samaritans, but the one that comes back is a Samaritan because Jesus addresses him as such. Now, think about happening upon 10 lepers. Why are they all there? Well, lepers had a tendency to be together, right? They had a tendency to group together. And there's a reason for that. Think about that the Jews were required and commanded to put them out of the city when they became a leper. If you were a leper, you were required to be thrown out of the city. Why? Because it was something that was contagious and they didn't want anybody else getting it. So you've got to go outside of the city. So imagine people getting thrown outside of the city. Wouldn't you say, well, I don't know who you are. Maybe you don't know who I am, but we're both lepers. We're both out here. We might as well make the best use of our time. And so when other people from other places kind of followed suit and said, we need to get these leprous people outside of our community, it makes sense that, you know what? I've been thrown out, kicked out of my community. You've been thrown out and kicked out of your community. Why not? Why not? Let's just be together. And so you would find that. You would find groups of lepers outside of cities. They were all outcasts. And think about this Samaritan man who was told to go show yourself to the priest. He was headed to do that, even though he was a Samaritan. This disease was a horrible, horrible disease. I've described it before and I won't take the time to really describe it in detail. But it started on the inside, and that's why when the blisters and sores started showing on the outside, that it was full blown. Because it starts from the inside. And so once it you see it, it's already all within your body. And so we again realize how serious this disease was. By the time it manifested itself to where you could see it, it was already too late. Now the connection that we want to make is that sin is the spiritual equivalent of leprosy, of physical leprosy. It is a disgusting disease in the eyes of God that starts from the inside, and once it manifests itself, it's already throughout. Sin has already overtaken you. See, at first we try to hide it, right? And we try to make good decisions. Oh, we made this mistake. And we say, well, nobody caught me. Nobody saw that. And so we do it again and again. And at some point, it comes to the point where we say, well, I don't care who sees me do this. And once it gets to that point, it is already all through your spiritual body. And so sin is the spiritual equivalent of physical leprosy. Look at Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah 59, first four verses. Isaiah says, behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save, nor his ear so dull that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God. And your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquity, your lips have spoken falsehood, your tongue mutters wickedness. No one sues righteously, and no one pleads honestly. They trust in confusion and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. Do we see all of these things? He says, it's now manifested and sin is running rampant through you. And because of that, you've separated yourself from God. Notice Numbers chapter 5 in verse 2. Here's the connection. Notice what the leper has happened to them. Numbers chapter 5 and verse 2. Command the sons of Israel that they send away from the camp every leper and everyone having a discharge and everyone who is unclean because of a dead person. What does he tell them to do? Send them away from the camp. And so we find that sin and leprosy do the same thing. It separates us. Sin separates us from God. Leprosy separated us from our community. And we see the spiritual application. And hopefully it helps us appreciate where Jesus can get us. Because when he sees these lepers, he says, go show yourselves to the priest. You can now go back into the city. You can now go back into the city and show yourselves to the priest. Do we appreciate where Jesus can get us? If we are children of God, Jesus says you can go into the city. You can approach. See, that separation between you and God is not there anymore because I'm the buffer. I can allow you to approach the Father's throne. Do we appreciate where Jesus can get us? If we are going to be a true giver of thanks, we have to realize who we are. If we do not yet admit that we are sinners, that we have this spiritual leprosy in our lives, if we can't admit that, then we're not going to be a very good thanksgiver, are we? Because we don't believe that we need anything. That's why Jesus often told, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Jews in general, that's why he told them that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Right? Somebody that's well doesn't need a doctor, do they? No. The people that are sick need a doctor. But we have to admit that we're sick. So I don't like to do that physically. I don't like to admit that I'm sick because I don't want to go to the doctor. And it's not necessarily something about being afraid of the doctor. I'm afraid of how much the doctor's going to charge me when I go to see them. And I don't want to pay it. So I don't want to admit that I'm sick. Even though if I go to the doctor, maybe they would be able to heal me faster. I don't want to go. I don't want to admit it. And so spiritually speaking, it's the same way. If we're not willing to admit it, then we're never going to appreciate what Jesus can do for us. Which brings us to the second point. Not only do we need to realize who we are, but we also need to realize who God is and who Jesus is. Notice verse 13 again and verse 14. And they raised their voices saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priest. And as they were going, they were cleansed. So Jesus, again in his travels, is met by these 10 lepers. And notice the reaction that these lepers give to Jesus. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They understand at least a little bit who Jesus is. I'm certain that they've heard who Jesus is and what he's capable of. And so when they realize that it's him, they call out, they cry out, and they don't care who hears them. Because they realize who they are, they realize what a dire situation that they're in, and they don't care that they appear to beg. Because they are begging. They want to beg. These men realize the desperate need that they're in. And maybe more specifically, they realize the desperate need that they have for Jesus specifically. He was the only one who could heal them. And again, do we recognize that in our spiritual leprosy? Who God is. Look at Psalm 100, the 100th Psalm. There's only five, it's very short, there's only five verses. If your Bible has a heading or a tag above the 100th Psalm, it probably says something like a Psalm of Thanksgiving. Here's what it says. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. Now, in verse 5, he points out three specific things about why we need to be thankful. He says, enter His gates with thanksgiving, be thankful to Him. And He gives us three reasons why we do that. And it's all because of who God is. He says, for the Lord is good. And when He says that, He means it. He is good. Not that He can be good or He does good sometimes. God is good. What else does He say? For the Lord is good and His mercy is everlasting. It lasts forever. And the final thing that He says is His truth endures to all generations. It is for everyone. I believe that at least in some way these 10 lepers recognize this. They realize who they are and they realize who God is and they realize that they need Him because He is good. His mercy is everlasting. So even if somebody else could perform this miracle, maybe they don't have the mercy that God does and are unwilling to do it, but they know that God is. The Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. So even as a Samaritan, this man knows, and if there were any other Samaritans in the group, this man knows that this applies to him. Do we see that? Do we recognize who God is? Not just when we're sitting down on Thursday and we're having a meal, certainly be thankful for God then, but all the time. do we realize that God is always good? The last thing is probably the most important. Yes, we need to realize who we are. Yes, we need to realize who God is. But the difference in those who were thankful for their leprosy being healed in this one man who became a thanksgiver is that this man was thankful for the giver of the gift and not for the gift itself. Again, rereading verse 14 through the end of the chapter. Luke 17:14, when he saw them, he said to them, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." And as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Stand up and go. Your faith has made you well." We'll deal with that in just a moment. We have 10 people here who are healed of leprosy. Was really only one thankful? Again, as we mentioned earlier, I believe all of them were thankful that they were healed. How could they not be? But it was only one who came back glorifying God and giving thanks. They were thankful, right? That's them. They were grateful for what they had, but not to the extent that they were going to go and glorify God and return that thankfulness to Jesus who had healed them. I assume that they were all thankful, but only one was a thanksgiver because only one of them was truly thankful for the giver of the gift and not just the gift itself. Now, what might be the temptation here for these 10 men? Jesus comes up to them and says, "Go, show yourself to the priest." Now, as he says that, as he mentions that, all of them are still lepers, right? They're all still lepers. He just says, "Go and show yourselves to the priest," because that was the process that God instituted. If someone showed this spot, they said, "We're not taking any chances, get them out." They have to be examined by the priest. The priest says, "Go." Right? Now, they can wash and do all that and come back. And the priest will check them out and say, "Okay, the spot's gone, but you still have to be outside the camp. Wait for 7 days, then come back, and if it's gone, then we'll consider you healed. You can go do your ceremonial washing and come back into as part of the community." So it was part of the process to go show yourself to the priest. They had probably been doing that for as long as they were lepers. Right? So when Jesus said, they say, "Jesus, Master, help us." And he says, "Go show yourselves to the priest." What's the temptation here? Well, as they're walking away, the temptation may be, "Well, he didn't do anything." Think about Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5 and verse 13. In this example, "And he stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, 'I am willing, be cleansed.' And immediately the leprosy left him." So in this example of Jesus healing a leper, he touched him. Because this man comes up and says, "I know that if you are willing, I can be healed." And Jesus touched him and said, "I am willing, be cleansed." And he was cleansed. He didn't do that to these 10 lepers. I don't know exactly why. He didn't need to touch them. And I don't believe that the touching here in Luke chapter 5 had anything to do with the healing. I believe that was just Jesus' way of saying, "You know what? You can't make me unclean. I'm willing to heal you. You're cleansed." I believe that was more maybe for an emotional thing to this leper who was still a leper when Jesus touched him. which normally would have made Jesus unclean, but you can't make Jesus unclean, can you? And so nothing like this happened. He didn't even say, be cleansed, did he? Jesus didn't stand over them. He didn't touch them. He didn't even say, you're clean. Go show yourself to the priest. He simply said, go show yourself to the priest. So as they're walking away, what might that temptation be? Well, you know what? I'm healed. He didn't do anything. He didn't put his hand on me. Right? Remember Naaman in the Old Testament? I thought he would come out and wave his hands over me and say, you know, heal the leper or something. Some big theatrical thing. He just tells me to go dip in the Jordan 7 times. That might be the temptation for these 9 people to walk away and as they're being healed, say, well, you know what? What did he really do? Did he really do anything? He never touched us. He never said that we were... He just said, go show yourself to the priest. Again, speculation on my part. But might that be something that they say? In 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5, starting in verse 14. He says, we urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See that no one repays evil for evil, but always seeks after that which is good for one another and for all people. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do you see that? In everything give thanks. Do we always do that? You know, we talked about on Wednesday night being thankful for thorns. Right? We're always thankful for the rose. But how often are we thankful for those thorns in the flesh that can help strengthen us? Thankful for those times that God tests us to strengthen our faith, to test our faith. How often are we thankful for those thorns? Of course, we're all thankful for those good things. But how often do we give thanks, as it says here? Give in everything, not just the good things, in everything. Give, be a thanks giver. Send something back. We may be thankful for it. But how oftentimes do we give that back? Do we glorify God and give it back to Him in thanks? Jesus responds to this one man who comes back. Your faith has saved you. Isn't that interesting? Were the other 9 healed? Yeah, because Jesus says they were. He says, were there not 10 who were healed? Where are the 9? The 9, where are they? They were just as healed of their physical leprosy as this man was. But only to this one does Jesus say, your faith has saved you. It wasn't his faith that caused him to be cleansed of his leprosy. Jesus did that. It was his faith that had spiritually healed him. Because he was willing to come back and give glory to God. Glory to whom was due. And he was thankful for Jesus, the giver of the gift, and not simply the gift that was given to him. How often do we do that? We may be thankful for something, but how often do we give thanks back? Not just in the physical life, if someone physically gives us a gift and we're thankful for it, we're grateful to have it. And so we go to that person and we say, thank you. But for God, in all aspects, in all areas of our life, do we go and give thanks? See, just being thankful is not being a thanks giver. Because again, we can assume that all of these men were thankful. They all would have recognized who they were. But understand that it takes all three of the things that we talked about to be a true thanksgiver. Yes, we have to recognize who we are. We have to realize the dire situation that we're in. I don't know if you've ever had somebody help you when you were in a dire situation where you needed help. How many of us enjoy asking for help? Nobody does. Nobody wants to have to ask for help. But have you ever been in a position where you had to ask for help? Don't you first have to realize the state that you're in? How many times does your wife have to lean over and say, Tony, we're lost. Ask for help. Nah, we're good. I'm not lost. I just don't know where I am right now. We'll find it. We'll figure it out. We just got to keep going east, or we just got to keep going north. All right, we'll get there eventually. I'll figure it out. It takes that point where you realize, I don't, number one, know where I am. And number two, I don't know how to get back to where I need to be. That's the only time you're going to ask for help, isn't it? So if you've ever been in that position, you've recognized, okay, I realize that I can't do this. I realize that I need help from somebody. We also have to recognize, if we're going to be a true thanksgiver, we also have to recognize who God is. He's the only one that can help us. How often times do we realize we need help, but go to the wrong place to get it? I realize I need help, but maybe this worldly person can help me. Right? Maybe it's just something physical that I need. And it's not God. And so we go to the wrong places to get that help. So we've got to recognize who we are, and we've got to recognize who God is, the only person that can really, truly help us in those spiritual issues that we have, those spiritual voids that need filled. I believe that all of the men that were healed, all of the lepers that were healed that day, did both of these things. They realized who they were, and they realized who God was. The only difference between the one and the nine was one was thankful for the giver of the gift, and everyone else was thankful for just the gift. Now, this one leper was absolutely thankful for the gift that he had been given, but he was truly thankful for the giver, and that's why he went back. Look at Deuteronomy 6. I love these verses. I love reading these verses. It's Moses trying to get the children of Israel ready to go into the promised land. And he speaks these words to them. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your hearts. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as signs on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Then it shall come about when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, to give to you, great and splendid cities, which you did not build, and houses full of all good things, which you did not fill, hewn cisterns, which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees, which you did not plant, and you eat and are satisfied. Then watch yourself, that you do not forget the Lord who brought you from the land of Egypt and out of the house of slavery. Do not forget. Right? Don't just be thankful for what you have. Be thankful for who gave it to you. Notice he does not say, do not forget the houses, the cities, the good things, the hewn cisterns, the well, or the vineyards, the olive trees. He doesn't say that. He says, do not forget the Lord who brought you from the land of Egypt to all of these things. And the question for us is, have we forgotten? If we're here this morning and we are not a child of God, then we've never really known truly. we've never been baptized into the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins, and we've never truly known what it is to give glory to God and be thankful to God. We may recognize that God is there and that God gives us certain things, but we haven't taken the step to truly say, you know what, I'm going to turn my life over to you. You have time and opportunity to do that this very morning, to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. If you're here this morning and you are a child of God who maybe hasn't been the thanksgiver that you need to be, maybe forgets in certain circumstances that it is God who has gotten you here and that it is God who you need and it is God who has given you all things, we have time and opportunity to make that right with Him this very morning. To start being the thanksgivers that we need to be. I encourage you to remember that this week, and not just this week, but it's a good time to reflect, because it is a day that we call Thanksgiving. Do we really truly want to be givers of thanks to God? Or do we just want to be thankful for all the things that we have? I encourage you to be true thanksgivers, not just this week, but throughout your whole lives. If you're here this morning and subject to God's invitation in any way, please come to the front while we stand and while we sing.